Welcome to Intuitive Astrology with Molly McCord. Thank you for joining me as we take a look at some astrological topics in today's show. I'm going to do things a little differently and just kind of cover a smorgasbord of things to touch on and share with you. And I'm also going to step on a landmine and talk about masks. I'm going to share with you some information I've received through my guides, channeled information about masks. Should you wear them? Should you not? What is happening with the overall energy of masks. So I'll share with you what I've been receiving about that, which I hope is informative and helpful. I'm going to talk about some of the business changes that are unfolding here as we move through 2020 and into 2021. I'm going to talk about, someone asked about Neil deGrasse Tyson really talking harshly and negatively about astrology. And someone asked me, well, what are my thoughts on that opinion of his? And so I will tell you what my response is or how I see those types of opinions. And then I'm also going to tell you a story I have about one of my favorite astrologers, Rick Levine. And I'm going to share with you an anecdotal personal experience that makes me smile, and I hope it helps make you smile too, because it's a reminder of how small the astrological community is and how we can support each other in really uncommon and unexpected ways. So let's start by talking about masks. And somebody had asked me, you know, well, what do your guides say about masks and what is unfolding and wearing masks? And I sat with that and listened. And it's important to note that the information I connect with, the channeled information I connect with, to me feels very empowering. And that's how I wish to share it with you. It is not about right or wrong. It's not about yes or no, or you should do this or you should do that. That's not the energy I connect with at all. So as I sat with this inquiry and listened to the information that came through, I found it to be very empowering and actually quite clarifying. So there's many levels of energies taking place right now. And if we were to look at the bigger picture, the world is changing permanently. We got that, right? The globe is shifting. There are things that are happening in a whole new way. And if you've listened to this show regularly, we've talked about how there are new energies coming through, new interdimensional energies, new cosmic energies, new solar energies. So there's a lot that is influencing our globe at this time. And when we look at something as specific as masks and wearing masks, I know there are many opinions out there. And there's many interpretations, and it's, you know, is it about public safety and community and being responsible? It could be about, you know, programming and the hidden messages or hidden meanings and any other interpretations that might be out there. But the information that I heard is that you are viewed as powerful and your belief systems create your experience. So what do you believe about wearing a mask? And they showed me a timeline of human history where various populations, cultures, tribes wore masks for different rituals, for different experiences, for different meanings. Again, it's the full spectrum of doing something from a very positive intention to a very evil intention. And they're showing me that this has actually been something that's come up in various cycles because it pertains to your own personal sovereignty, your free will, your body, what you do with your energy. Going back to the power of belief systems, it's what you believe that will create your experience. And they were showing me that in the areas where masks are required right now, which they are in various public places, in various states, they're being enforced, people are being ticketed if you don't wear one. They're showing me that the mask can be energetically programmed to support you in whatever you need, and that the mask can be something that you use to your benefit, whatever that might be. And if you choose not to wear a mask, that also can be something that is to your benefit, whatever that might be. Again, I'm not getting a right or wrong around this. What I'm getting is that you're being asked to get really clear around not only your beliefs, but your power to energetically program what you do. And so the mask they're showing me is something that can be programmed, and they're relating it to the aura, where it can be something that protects you right now if you want that to be the case. And they're also showing me an auric mask, an energetic mask that is see-through, like a saran wrap mask, which I do not advise because you would suffocate. This is not something you're supposed to do, but that's how it's appearing, as something that is a film, a clear, transparent film, that like a bubble that you can put around your aura as well right now, if that would energetically support you, if that would help with your interactions with people, with the world, with roommates, whatever it might be. And they're just showing me how this is all understanding how you work with energy, and that it comes down to the intention that you give it. So if, for example, there are intentions with the mask that are evil, harmful, lower vibrational, controlling, etc., you can send out, it's like they're showing this energetic wave that cancels that energy connecting to you. So if someone is wearing a mask from a fearful intention or from a power-based or controlling energy, you can cancel that so that it doesn't affect you and that it isn't something that you absorb or take in. And I'm feeling this as yet one more tool, one more way to work with your energy, to work with how you move through the world during these changing times, how you go out into the world with your energy and the energy you travel with, the energy you bring with you, and how it is shared and offered. This is personal choice at one level, and then it is something that is regulated and being enforced at another level. But they're going into your intention and your belief systems around it. They're also saying that it's a temporary thing. It won't last like for years to come. Like it's not going to be something that will happen for years and years. I feel like they're saying by the springtime, so that would be March, April, spring in the Northern Hemisphere, that things will be very different. But there's something about the school year being a very big deal for this whole conversation around masks. But then they're showing me too, it's a much bigger conversation and dialogue about the energies that are being transferred between people right now, because there's a definite split and it's more solid than ever between 3D and 5D energies. There's this really interesting split in consciousness that has been playing out for a while. It doesn't just happen overnight. But there's something that's really transpired here in the year 2020 that is showing people more of their energy than ever before, how they want to be in the world, how they want to walk, how you want to show up, you know, what you want to do. And they're saying that the mask can be used to your benefit if that's what you choose. And it's also meant to reinforce your belief systems, your intention, your energy. And it's when you give that power away to any other individual or entity is when your energy goes down. So I know this is a big topic right now. And again, there's places where it can feel like you don't have a choice and, you know, you want to go to the grocery store, you need to go run your errands, you need to do whatever out in the world. Program it, your mask, to be what you need it to be. And it can be filled with a sense of calm and peace and love and, you know, balance and whatever that needs to be for you. Program it to work for you and to support you and to be something that you're energetically in control of, even during this time of law, regulation, and rules. So I hope that is beneficial in some way, and also something to consider and sit with, because it is yet one more part of your energy field that you are in control of and that you can master. The other thing that came up here was talking about business changes over the next, let's say, 6 months to a year? Because obviously a lot of businesses have been seriously impacted by the quarantine and COVID-19. And what is happening is that we saw Saturn move into Aquarius for about 4 months here, March to early July 2020. And it showed us the shutdown, okay? Because this was really at the height of the quarantine experience where any type of collective gathering space was shut down. Stadiums, concerts, movie theaters, sports, schools, etc. Saturn goes back into Aquarius, as does Jupiter, in December 2020. And so we've had an experience of what that shutdown looks like in our collective spaces and how that affects our everyday life. I think that as Saturn goes back into Aquarius, joined by Jupiter in Aquarius, we're going to have some new tools and new solutions for life, for what's been changed and shifted, and how we show up in these collective environments. I'm really curious, actually, about how this is going to show up for a number of businesses by the end of the year. I think there's going to be a number of shutdowns from some of these bigger organizations that rely upon a quantity of people to operate. And this becomes a simple numbers game. So you take, for example, an amusement park or a sports arena that needs to sell a certain number of seats in order to turn a profit, right? And this is very Aquarius. So let's take the example of a sports stadium where you have a lot of people showing up to watch any kind of sports, right? Well, they are selling tickets, they're selling merchandise and souvenirs, they're selling food and beverage, and all of those have supply chains associated with them. And they all have variety and choices. And, you know, you get a hamburger. Well, that hamburger, how many ingredients go into a hamburger, right? If you've got lettuce and ketchup and the hamburger meat and the bun, etc. All of those come from supply chains. And as things have shut down, it has slowed down and shut down supply chains, which creates a ripple effect that then affects these businesses that probably are used to ordering in high quantity, that are used to having a lot of hamburger buns available and a big selection of drinks. All of that shuts down. All of that's been slowed down significantly. The trucks have slowed down, the supply trucks. You know, how far you want to drive to deliver ingredients or to deliver anything that would maybe normally go around the country or around the world. All of that's been greatly impacted. So then we're going to see this show up in businesses, which it's doing already, because a number of restaurants now have a limited menu, meaning they can't create everything on their menu that they used to. This relates to supply chains. So I think that by the end of this year, we're going to see many companies deliver their very clear budgets, reports, the profit and loss statements, financial statements around what they've lost, what they can't sustain, and how they've been greatly impacted by having fewer people show up. So getting back to a sports stadium, well, if you need to sell, let's say, 20,000 tickets to, you know, turn a profit and to not go under, well, how long is that going to last if you have social distancing in place and you can only allow a certain number of people in? You know, either you raise your tickets prices or you can't make the numbers work, but people can't pay more right now if they haven't been getting their paychecks, if they're not having money come in for extracurricular activities. So raising the price of a ticket isn't going to work too well. And they're going to try other solutions, you know, see how else they can bring in money to stay afloat and to cover operating costs, etc. But this is where the reality check shows up, where there's a sense of we can't keep operating at this level because we're operating at a loss. And that's been one of the effects, of course, of COVID. And I think that's what's going to play out by the end of this year and into early 2021. And then this Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius are going to show us perhaps a rise in how to connect locally, the community markets, the farmers markets, your local resources. These are, of course, trends and things that have been happening for years, but now they become really important, because if you can't go, you know, very far to get what you need, that affects us. And actually what I'm getting is how produce and vegetables are shipped globally and even just around between different states. And now you aren't going to be able to perhaps get the avocados that you wanted or the oranges that you need. And maybe there's going to be fewer bananas. And I know we saw this earlier in 2020, but I think this is what is going to come back in because we're having to reassess these supply chains and reassess, you know, how things are functioning in the global economy and then how that shows up locally. So it is a wonderful time to support local businesses, local growers, to look at where new places can show up, the co-ops, the community farms, anything where what you have around you can sustain you and support you. And I think this is where more people are going to be looking for solutions. So on that note, it will be interesting to see what these bigger arenas have to do. Again, the sports stadiums, amusement parks, movie theaters, concert halls. You know, think of where you would buy a ticket and go and there'd be thousands of people. There's going to be a big change in all those business models. And it could be streaming at home. It could be, you know, selling something to people online. There are solutions and there are things that will come about, but it's going to definitely show up as something that, you know, we didn't realize was ending. It's also going to be like this, oh, I remember the very last concert I went to and I didn't realize it was going to be my last concert or the last Broadway show I saw or the last movie theater I saw in a theater for a while. It's not to say that these things won't come back. It just means they've been greatly impacted. And this is just one example of how business models are going to be changing into this decade and how we have to get more creative, more innovative, what we're going to do based on this new world that we're living in. And in fact, on that note, I wanted to share with you a book I've been reading called Nomad Land. It's one word, Nomad Land, by Jessica Bruder. And it is a book about people who have invested in wheel estate. Wheels, as in campers, trailers, vans, any kind of vehicle, that is their wheel estate. And it started with the 2008 housing crash. And astrologically, there are amazing things that are shown in this book because in 2008, that's when Pluto entered Capricorn. That's when we had the mortgage crisis, the financial collapse, and everything changed dramatically. And so this is a book that talks about the people who lost their home. And this is, the bigger picture is the squeeze on the middle class, the squeeze on people who had worked for years, decades in very secure jobs. They had retirement, they had pension, and they had a home that they thought they could sell at a profit. And all that changed in 2008. And I think it's a very good commentary on American life right now, because this could be a story that relates to you, your friends, your parents, people you know. I think that it's also important to see how these energies are playing out, because these are individuals who lost their home, lost their pension, lost their retirement, or couldn't be hired because of ageism, because there was someone younger and cheaper to do the same job. And so there's a lot here around Capricorn themes, what you work for in your life, what you're trying to achieve and the stability and what you're doing to create a good life for yourself later in life. Well, this book, Nomad Land, talks about at a very personal level, people's stories and what they've had to do when they couldn't afford their home, or they had to choose between paying rent or buying food, or paying rent and paying your student loans. I feel like it's very relatable. And there's something here that we're really meant to understand about the changing landscape of America. So not only does this book really highlight the Pluto and Capricorn themes, but it talks too about how people who have moved into their RV and their vans, all of this actually started during the 1930s. And that's when the very first camping trailer went mainstream. And I found this fascinating because during the 1930s was when we also had Uranus in Taurus, which shakes up our resources, shakes up our money, our financial situation, is meant to bring us liberation and freedom, which a camping trailer or a van certainly does. But it's what we're experiencing right now with Uranus and Taurus again. And even with COVID, there has been a surge in RV camper sales where people want to move, they want freedom, they want to go somewhere, even if they can't get on a plane. So there's themes around how the landscape in America is changing, what is showing up, the choices people have to make. And the other theme that's really strong in this book around the Capricorn energies is how many people have had to take jobs with Amazon, right? The ultimate Capricorn mega corporation. And the book gives insight into what it means to be a temporary worker at Amazon, the culture that they're a part of, what they experience, and many more interesting insights that you might not know or be aware of. So there's interesting energies here that are showing up for people in many ways. And I wanted to share that book title with you in case it is of interest, in case you can relate, if it's been your experience, or if you have friends who are certainly in a situation that is relatable. So again, it's called Nomadland by Jessica Bruder. So the comment made by Neil deGrasse Tyson about astrology and speaking negatively about it, and you know, this is a question that you get asked that comes up. Well, how do you respond to that, or what do you think about that, or you know, how does that affect you when someone talks so negatively about astrology? And my response to those types of comments and interpretations are actually quite neutral, because everyone has their opinion based on their expertise and their experience. And I don't find it worthwhile to try to disprove or argue with someone about their opinion or what they believe is right for them. What I would do is look at their astrology chart just to understand more about who they are, what their experiences are, how they're energetically set up, to get to know more about their own energy. But I don't find it worthwhile to go into those types of conversations, because people are going to believe what they're going to believe, and they often don't want to change or shift, or they don't want to be open to any other information, and that's perfectly valid. Everyone has the right to that. And to discredit astrology has been a game for how many eons, how many decades and centuries has that been a clear message in the mainstream? But astrology demonstrates itself. It continues to prove itself. It continues to show up. And that's what more and more people are discovering. And I remember a few years ago when Sam Reynolds, an astrologer, perhaps you know him, he's at unlockastrology.com, and he's a speaker at many astrological conferences. Well, he was on a Netflix program with Bill Nye, the science guy, talking about astrology and is it valid and all these big questions. And of course, you know, it's set up so that Bill Nye, the science guy, quote unquote, wins and disproves or discredits. But Sam is such a great teacher and professor of astrology that he did an amazing job of demonstrating, you know, why people are drawn to astrology or what it is about or what they get from it, what they gain from it. So it's certainly an ongoing topic, and it is one that sets up astrologers with astronomers too. But you have to understand it's a different way of interpreting energy, and not everyone is here to understand the differences. It's a whole different energy system. It's a different language. It's something that, of course, you have to have an interest in. And if you don't have an interest in it, you don't care and you don't want to agree with it, perhaps. So I find that it's not a conversation worth having. Rather, there's other things to talk about, unless, you know, you really want to make a point, you have a lot of conviction, there's something that you want to prove or demonstrate. But what I have found in my years of doing this, because I have been studying astrology for 30 years, and I have found that people come to it when and if they're ready, when and if they're interested, when and if it speaks to them. And so it's not my job to sell anything. I'm not trying to market a belief system or anything that you should subscribe to or you should believe in. No, it's honoring your own free will, what is empowering for you, what is correct for you. And that is enough, because when we see each other as individual sovereign beings, we can honor each other's individual choices and journeys without thinking we have to do anything to prove you right or prove you wrong. And there are also ways to be strong in your own convictions and in your own belief systems without needing to go into the arguing or the disproving. Again, that is a personal choice. And some people are actually really designed well to go into those arguments. But I just wanted to share with you a little bit more about what I've learned through the years, what serves me, and also just the fact that it's sometimes just better to maintain or contain your own energy and allow that to support you without thinking you need anyone else to agree with you. So now I have a personal anecdotal story to share with you about an amazing astrologer named Rick Levine, who you perhaps are familiar with or you've watched his videos on YouTube. Now I have to do a quick disclaimer that I do not know Rick personally, but he has been influential to me for years. And I remember back in the early 2000s when I was going to a job and I would go to a website called tarot.com. And this was in the early days of the internet and there weren't a ton of astrology websites at that time. And I would read what Rick wrote on tarot.com to just keep learning more about astrology, put the pieces together, understand it. And he also wrote with Jeff Geyer. Both Rick and Jeff were based in the Seattle area, which is also where I lived, and I just thought that was really cool to see these two astrologers who live so close to me. So through the years, I followed their work, and there were times when I would go to astrology conferences and see them speak and attend their seminars. There were times when I would also go to their live productions of videos that they would put on YouTube, because Jeff and Rick would do a monthly gathering talking about the astrology of the month ahead. And they did it at this place called Soul Food Books in Redmond, Washington. And I would go and sit in the audience, and I thought they were so brave to put their videos on YouTube. This was in 2009, 2010. At that time, you know, it was a new frontier to be on YouTube. And so I always really got a lot from their teachings. And I even remember when Jeff died. And I was so heartbroken. Not that I knew him personally, but there's something about the astrological community where you feel a familiarity with people and you really respect what they're here to teach and share. So I just remember feeling really sad when Jeff passed. And Jeff and Rick were a dynamic duo in the astrology world with their retreats and teachings and seminars and videos, all of that. So throughout these number of years, I always thought that Rick looked familiar. And I didn't know why. And I thought, well, I've seen him around, or something has happened where, you know, I've just seen him enough places that he's just a face I recognize. And then it was through the gift of Facebook that something clicked for me. And I realized that I actually have known or seen Rick around since middle school, junior high, because I went to school with his daughter and I would see him on campus wearing his shirt with the planets. And I always thought he was a science teacher. And of course he is a teacher. He is a professor of the solar system. But something clicked when I realized I went to school with his daughter. And that's why he always was so familiar to me. And then I realized something even better is that Rick Levine was my first spirit guide, and that there's something about his work through the years that really reinforced my own love of astrology. And I just want to give a shout out to those who have been doing this for a very long time, who have a ton of wisdom, a ton of information, and to recognize that as astrology grows around the world, as it expands and reaches more people, that you also want to make sure you're learning from people who are authentic, who know what they're doing, and who have years of experience. Because astrology is something that takes years to truly master, and it's an ongoing practice. It's an ongoing mastery. So you really want to make sure that you're, you know, resonating and connecting with those who have been around the block. It's not their first rodeo. They've been studying this for a while. They see how things play out, and they can offer some valuable insights. There are a lot of great up-and-coming astrologers. There's a lot of people who are learning and sharing and putting stuff out there, and that is fantastic. We all have been there at some point where you're really wanting to share these messages with people. And I think that it's also exciting how astrology is growing and how it's becoming something that's more common for people. And it's certainly in the mainstream more than ever. I'm also a big supporter of other astrologers. My philosophy is that astrologers have enough of a uphill battle, if you will, with quote unquote outsiders or people who disagree or, you know, people who think it's bogus, etc. And I'm someone who really thinks it's important for astrologers to be a strong collective. And there's different philosophies. There's different ways that people talk about astrology and how they share it and what they put out there. And of course, there's differences and there's egos. Oh yeah, there are egos. But my overall arching guideline and the way that I want to show up in this work is to support other astrologers and to know that this is something that we're doing collectively. You know, a rising tide raises all boats. So that's, I think, a strong mentality to have and to ensure that there's many different interpretations, many different ways that people will, you know, use astrological information. But I think that it's important to stay in our own integrity and to respect each other's work. And that's really how we make sure that astrology keeps thriving and keeps growing. So I hope this show has been useful for you and giving you some insights. I know it's kind of all over the board, touched on a variety of different topics, but I hope it was interesting. I hope it was beneficial. And I, as always, thank you for your time, energy, and presence. You can find out more about my current astrology programs and courses over at mollymccord.online, or you can find out more about my books, spiritual topics, and consciousness teachings at consciouscoolchic.com. In the meantime, I hope you have a beautiful day ahead, and I will connect with you soon through another podcast episode. Take care.